You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, away we go with podcast for you on this Wednesday. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. So, Gina the other night, she went to a concert up in Morristown.
Okay.
It was the, I don't know if you're familiar with the famous opera singer, Bocelli.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of him. I know my parents like him.
I think Andrea Bocelli, okay. Something. Anyway, his son is also a singer. He sings opera. He sings other songs, mm-hmm. covers, but he's known as opera guy. He's like 27, 28 years old. He's young.
Yeah.
So Gina was going to go to this event because she loves Bocelli.
I think I remember when she bought the tickets talking about this, and she bought another experience with it.
Correct.
I do remember you telling me this.
Yeah. So she bought a meet and greet experience with it. And she was starting to feel a little awkward because he's so young. You know, he's in his 20s, mm-hmm. and she thought that might be a little awkward. But she got an email, and she had the experience. She went, she had a great time, got a nice photo taken, and she was very mm-hmm. excited, got to watch rehearsal.
He asked her out to dinner?
He did not.
No.
How dare he?
Mm-hmm.
But before the meet and greet, she was sent an email about how to properly behave at the meet and greet that I thought was interesting. And I thought you would like to hear some of what they sent to the people who were going to the meet and greet.
I wonder if this is what Gio's got to deal with today.
That's what I'm thinking. Or maybe we put some of these things into effect when we do Boomer and Gio Live.
Okay.
We do a meet and greet section. So here's what it says, Jerry. This guy's name is Matteo mm-hmm. Bocelli. So here's some things. You will have access to a personal photograph with Matteo Bocelli. You have the option to take a selfie with Matteo or have a member of our team take a photograph using your camera.
Okay, it's nice.
Please note, no requesting preferred poses or attempting to maneuver Matteo into a position.
I don't disagree with that because I could see, especially with social media, trying to trick him into doing something that's going to... So I'll bring this back to, I've told you this before, when President Clinton came on with Mike and Chris.
Yeah.
I was the producer when he was going on to, I forget who he was trying to help win. I don't remember. But whatever, neither here nor there. And I had the person on the phone that was going to give the phone to the president.
Okay.
So I had to talk to President Clinton momentarily before putting him on the air with Mike and Chris. They knew he was coming on. Person's on the phone. Chris asks him, see if he'll say first time, long time. That would be cool for the show.
Oh, okay. Man.
So the woman's on the phone with me. I'm like, hey, just...
Did you feel awkward to ask that?
I did and I didn't because I tried to explain it.
Okay.
So I said, we're a sports radio station. When our callers first call in, they say first time caller, long time listener. So first time, long time is a big thing with the Mike and the Mad Dog show. Is there a chance that when Mr. President comes on, he would say, hey guys, first time, long time? On the other end, no. Okay. We'll be ready for him.
And were Mike and Chris looking at you like, Jerry, I thought he was going to do the first time.
I told Chris in his ear, no chance.
No chance.
But I remember thinking, he doesn't know what that means. He says he knows that he doesn't know the show. What if that meant first time, long time? Hey, first.
Right.
Because it could have been a Ron and Fez show. They don't know who it was, a radio tour.
Right, it's like when Brett Favre first got into Cameo.
Yes.
And he did like a thing for white nationalists and had no idea what he was
reading. And just cashed the $2,000 check and moved on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So maybe they're worried about social media poses making him look compromised.
So no requesting preferred poses or attempting to maneuver Mateo into position.
Mm-hmm.
No affectionate acts such as hugging, kissing, or caressing will be allowed.
Oh, boy.
No caressing, Jerry.
Okay.
No. How about this one? Is interesting. No hands in pockets or reaching into your pockets at any point of the photo before or after.
What are they worried? You're going to have a knife in your
I don't know.
Pocket, maybe? I guess that's got to be a security reason.
Please refrain from handshaking. A wave is sufficient.
I like that. I'd like a fist bump.
I like this one, Jerry. Mateo may choose to place an arm loosely around your shoulder for a photograph.
Okay.
He may choose that.
Okay.
You don't choose that, Jerry.
You can't touch him, but he can touch you.
He may choose that. After your photo, you will be shown to a seat inside the venue where you can enjoy Mateo's string players who will have begun their sound check.
That's cool.
That is cool. Let's see. Please keep conversation very brief to ensure everyone has an equal amount of time with Mateo.
Yeah, that works out well all the time. Sure.
Mateo's team reserves the right to cut any conversation short. Please refrain from taking photographs of Mateo while he is meeting with other attendees.
I don't like that. That's the first one I've heard that I don't like.
That you wanted him.
You're there, like, for I don't know who the hell he is, but if you're there, mm-hmm. you're a fan of his, you can't just take a pic. Like, why not?
While he's meeting and greeting others.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
That's the first one I don't like.
How about this one, Jerry? It's quite extensive. Any gifts should be presented to Mateo's security team. Presented to his security team for inspection and approval before presenting to Mateo.
Wow.
No request for autographs will be permitted. Signed items will be available for sale from the merchandise stand later. God. Please do not put Mateo in a difficult position by asking.
I thought you were going to say a headlock.
That's a given, Jerry. You don't put an opera singer in a headlock.
Mateo!
How about this, Jerry? Any inappropriate gifts, such as any type of drugs, sexually related items, alcohol or food of any sort will not be permitted.
That tells me that in the past, before this list was given out, that a woman's given him a vibrator with her name on it.
Or a rubber vagina.
I think of me.
This was molded after my vagina. Please, this is a gift to you.
Al, I thought you had a penis.
They want you to also keep this in mind, Jerry. Please remember that any gifts will have to accompany Mateo throughout the duration of the tour, so keep these small and easy to store. A nice card is preferred.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's got it on lockdown, Jerry.
Can you imagine?
He's got that on lockdown.
Two things. That you think you're this important.
Yeah.
And two, that people think you're that important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God damn.
You're right. Somebody gave him a dildo. Somewhere along a tour.
Someone had to have, because otherwise that wouldn't be in there. You wouldn't think of it.
Or their panties, because they said sexually suggestive. Here's my bra and panties, Mateo.
Isn't that usually a rocker thing? But yeah. I guess in this case it could be. He's in his 20s.
He's very attractive, 27, 28-year-old man who's very talented.
And this is a goofy thing, but could you imagine, though, like if Gina texted you and said, I'm going to be home later than I thought. He asked me out for coffee or something.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with Mateo.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's ever happened to someone before, but I'm sure somewhere along the lines it has.
Absolutely it has.
No, it's got to be such a, I don't know.
Yeah.
This guy's got the world by the balls.
Now, she did, because I was like, oh, man, this is going to be so great. There's so many rules. And who knows how many women,
mm-hmm.
I assume it was mostly women, how many read through that to even know the proper rules.
Sure.
But she said everyone was good and that Mateo put his arm around everyone. So
that's very nice.
He chose, Jerry, to put his arms around people.
The one thing I don't like about the meet and greet, I really don't, is, like, we do it for the live show.
Yes.
I know you can't give people 5 minutes. We'll be there for 4 hours. I do understand that. But I always feel weird when the people come up. They're very nice. They're happy to see us, take the picture, and they can't get three words out of their mouth. And, you know, everyone's like, all right, let's go, move it on. Let's go, next group in. It's like, thank you. Oh, hey, nice to meet you. Hey, how you doing?
And other people.
You're like, you're cheating them.
Yeah, and other people are so conscious of it, they're trying to get in and out as fast as possible,
yeah.
Which also feels weird.
I agree.
Because you feel like saying, slow down.
There's got to be a happy medium somewhere, you know, like 60 seconds. But then again, even 60 seconds, if you've got 50 people, you're there for an hour.
Right.
Maybe less, you sell less of them.
So we have Jerry and I have the same rules. If you're coming to the show on May 3rd and you have a meet and greet ticket, Jerry and I may decide to lightly put our arm around you.
Or each other.
Please do not caress either one of us in line.
No, I'm open for the caressing.
You're okay for a caress?
Female.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, female caress.
Mm.
Are you open to sexual gifts?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Is it okay if someone positions you for a photograph?
Depends on the type of picture.
Okay.
I'm open to it.
That's fair. So you're open.
It's got to be something that I'm not going to get duped into doing something stupid.
Handshake, or like how Mateo would prefer, a wave.
I don't like the handshake anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
I would much prefer the pound.
The fist pound.
Or just a sup.
Yeah.
How we doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hands in my pocket. Hey, yeah. You.
Although to me, like in the handshake situation, if you're doing a lot of handshakes, you just be very conscious of you're going through a group of people, a handshake, and afterwards you give them a real good washing.
Just to make sure you don't touch your face in between, which is hard to do if you're there for an hour.
It is very hard to not touch your face. I saw this, Jerry. You know, we're always talking about businesses.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about how vending machines, what type of a business that is.
Great business.
Yeah, great business. You get a vending machine. Now you do have to get permission where to put the vending machine.
So I've heard.
And then I'm sure you have to share some of the...
You usually rent it.
You pay rent in the space you're putting the machine.
Most places would take, let's say, $150 a month.
So you own the machine.
Yeah.
And then you say, hey, can I put this machine in your cafeteria area? And they'd say $150 a month.
Sure. Very, very little square footage. It's just extra money.
And then you put in the... food. You maintain it. So that makes pretty good money, we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, for some reason...
I have an idea on this, by the way, which I've had for about 5 years and I haven't done it.
Do you want to give the idea out, or are you afraid someone will steal it?
Well, I mean, it's probably been done already.
What's that?
Medical vending.
Such as?
A vending machine in office buildings that is nothing more than Advil, Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, Mylanta, female products, stuff that some people don't always have with them.
Right.
And Excedrin.
You're stuck.
Mm-hmm. And you're not ripping anybody off. It's a service, and it's a very good service, I think.
It is.
Before we had that thing in the back, if Eddie wasn't here and you got a headache, I had to go run down to the drugstore.
Yeah, so our company has a really nice, what they call first aid kit,
but
it's got all sorts of medications in it. And from what I've heard, when we talked about it on the air, people called me off the air that maintain these things, and it's actually quite a pricey monthly fee that our company pays for that to be maintained. So probably a lot of companies don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a vending machine with those same products in
it? I've always wanted to do it. It's just the problem is you've got to make a lot of phone calls and send a lot of emails, and I've never sat down to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a no-brainer because it's not like I'm selling jelly donuts in a time where, you know, you want to cut down on your sugar. We're talking about being a service that's in need for an office building or an office floor or something where people have headaches all the time. People's stomach is bothering them all the time. And no one's carrying those things.
Yeah.
A lot of women carry, like my wife carries Advil. But she's not carrying anything else.
No.
You know, female products, of course. But sometimes you forget. You get stuck. You don't realize it's that time of the month. Stuff happens.
Right. You could sell even in there like a little toothpaste and mini toothbrush.
Yeah, absolutely.
The small Listerine bottles.
Yep. Anything you can think of for hygiene or for wellness, I think is great. I would put healthy protein bars in. Certain things I would put in it, not just, you know, meds.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason on Twitter, on the For You page of Twitter, I get a lot of finance things. Mm-hmm. I guess because I follow one or two of the finance guys that you were following that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
So they must give me suggestions. So one was they had a video of the owner of a laundromat went around to collect his money from the machines, Jerry, it was an absolute insane amount of quarters this guy had.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one working in the...
That's what Ernie Acosta does.
Yeah. There's no one working in the laundry. It's such a free
It's ball. Automated.
It's automated.
Yeah.
And it's just cash, cash, cash.
Yep.
Then I see another guy who says, here's a great business idea. Here's a great business to get into.
Okay.
And this one really threw me for a loop to the point where I was reading comments to see what people were saying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the vending machines, you buy clothing bin places where people put clothing, those bins, that you buy those bins, you place them in parking lots, and that you can then, a couple things, you go through it and sell the good clothing, or I guess there are places that will buy clothing by the pound, and you sell.
Really?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, I had no idea.
But I've never seen, it's funny you say that, because I don't think I've ever seen a bin that doesn't have a donation label to it.
Yeah.
So is all that phony then?
I don't know. Like, you'll see where it's going, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I guess a lot of that, and this I was just seeing in this one documentary.
Why am I donating all my clothes then?
Right.
Just save it and go sell it.
Right.
Where do you bring it, though?
Because we have this idea that those clothing bins are going to either people that are homeless or people that don't have enough money to properly clothe their children or themselves.
And as you've realized and learned, that's not true, that the stuff ends up as garbage.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is sent to these foreign countries, and we pay them to take it.
Yep.
And then that's their problem to deal with all this throwaway clothing. But I didn't know that was a business.
I didn't either.
And this guy was laying out, but it seemed you had to lay out a lot of money for those big bins.
Oh, I'm sure. They can't be cheap.
No, because they're very solidly built.
And you got to get permission. You can't just go drop it off in a parking lot.
It'd be a similar thing. But here's what I was thinking. If you ask to put a vending machine somewhere, the company's going to know, hey, you're using some of my property. If I tell you, can I put a clothing donation bin in here? People are going to think like, oh, this is good for charity. Yes, you may certainly. And they're not going to charge you for it because they don't think you're making money on this.
I'm sure that if you're smart, you'd ask, what are you doing with the clothes? I would.
What if I said this? It's for the children.
Would you still be lying.
Would you still charge me, though?
I would, yeah.
You would.
I would. If you're taking up any of my space,
because
I'm probably paying a fortune every month, anything I can get, I would take to help offset something.
Yeah, that whole thing between seeing that and what I saw on that documentary where they throw out all these clothes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had no idea. We all, it's funny, like it's like recycling. We all think we're doing the right thing. Recycling, this is going to be recycled and used. We donate clothing. This clothing is going to go to people who need it.
I give you a better idea. I'm not even kidding. The hell with the bin. Just create a used clothes pickup service. Unclutter. Call yourself uncluttered.
Ooh, that's interesting.
And just, you put your clothes in a bag, give us the time, we come pick it up, and we'll take it off your hands.
We'll save you the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Free. And then you go through it. If it's really good clothing that people just don't want anymore, consignment shop.
Now, you're going to come up with some hideous stuff. You have to go through it with rubber gloves.
Yeah.
But I would almost, if you told me that I could call, I'm not even joking, because it's annoying with the clothes, and you go, the bins. If you told me there was a company that would just come pick it up, when I schedule the time, I do that in a heartbeat.
I would as well.
For no cost, take it. Just get it out of here.
You're right. That and speaking of these bins, could you imagine what some people are putting in those bins or even what condition the clothing is in?
I've seen furniture jammed in those bins. It's true.
I've seen
that. It's awful. There's some people that bring their beds and just put it right next to the bin as if it's just a garbage dump.
Yeah.
It's like,
someone will use this.
Yes. What are we doing with this?
Yeah, I try to evaluate before I bring something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this in decent condition that someone would want to wear
proudly? If I have holy clothes, I actually throw it out.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do.
Giving you jeans that have 17 rips in them.
Right.
It's got to be usable.
Yes.
But, man. Oh, there you go. Al's boring unclutter pickup.
So it's a we're going to need to work on the name, but that's pretty good.
Right, the name's not great.
The name's not great, but that's pretty good.
Real quick, because I mentioned this on the
the
program this morning.
The warm-up show.
So I woke up at 1:30 this morning. I'm going to get the name. I'm going to show you so you don't think I'm lying to you.
Is this a text message or?
No, look at my search.
All right, your search history. Where is it? Which one?
Right there.
Riaj the Honeymooners?
Yes.
Who's Riaj the Honeymooners?
So I woke up at 1:30 in the morning with a very, very vivid dream, so much so I can still see it, where I saw the beginning of the Honeymooners and the big moon, and then I saw the end with the stars and the credits. And I would swear to you that I saw produced by, I think it was, I forget the first name, but I see the last name very vividly, R-I-A-A-J. I want to say it was like Vincent Riaj or something. And I woke up like, I don't know why instantly, but there were other names. That's the one that I saw.
Stood out.
And I literally thought as I rolled over and grabbed my phone, like, did I just have a reflective, did my brain in the dream have a reflective moment of a repressed memory? Something that I saw once, I saw it, but whatever, didn't think anything of it, but my brain recorded it. And so I rolled over 1:30 in the morning and I Googled it immediately. And there's no Vincent Riaj that had anything to do with Honeymooners.
Did you look
It was a weird feeling.
Did you look at the Honeymooners on like IMDb and scan the names, see if there's anything close?
I didn't.
You should do that.
I didn't. You know what? I could.
Yeah.
It was more, I just put that in with the Honeymooners and nothing came up.
Because if something comes up that's close, that's something.
But I was borderline freaked out by it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can see that.
Like my brain, in my sleep, which was a light sleep because I clearly woke up immediately from it, it was as if my brain was like a movie screen and I was seeing the Honeymooners.
Yeah.
I love the Honeymooners. I haven't watched an episode of that in 3 years. Where does that come from?
That is what's strange about memories.
Now, here's Vincent the one thing Riaj. I would tell you. What name did I bring up to you yesterday?
Jackie Gleason.
With the roasts.
You did.
So that's the only connection I can come up with that my brain made.
Yep.
But the Honeymooners, I haven't seen that show in years.
Many years.
Freaky, isn't it?
Vincent Riaj, where are you?
Vincent Riaj.
Jerry needs to speak with you about the future.
Vincent Riaj's uncluttered pickups. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Coming to a bin near you.
A premonition.
Yeah. Let's do the warm-up show, Jerry. So.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, here we go.
It's 5:01. It is Wednesday. I like the USFL t-shirt there, the Eddie Scazzeri. And across from me, Asbury Park man himself. Aldo, what's up,
Al? Good morning, Jerry. Things are just like humming along here in New York. I mean, what a week this is, Jerry. You've got the dominating Knicks up 2-0. You've got the dominating New York Rangers up 2-0. We've got the NFL draft on Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Baseball sort of taking a back seat for a bit because we've got playoff situation here.
Actually, a good week for it. With the Yankees playing the A's and the Mets, you know, playing when we're sleeping in San Francisco. Actually works out well.
Oh, it timed out perfectly, Jerry. Yeah. I mean, if we're looking towards the future, you know, with the Rangers, with the Knicks, the Yankees should be competitive till the end of the season. Yeah. We've got Aaron Rodgers coming back or getting started with the Jets. Things are looking up, Jerry.
I don't think the Knicks or Rangers are ever losing again.
Sweep, 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 sweep.
Sweep
from here on out. What are the statistical chances of that? The Rangers sweep it all the way to the Stanley
Not
Cup
great.
Finals, and the Knicks sweep it all the way to the...
Less than one half of 1%.
I'm going to put $1,000 on that, Jerry.
You ain't putting $1,000 on it. You're lucky you put $1,000 on your condo when you bought it.
I'm going to walk right into a sports book, Jerry, and place that bet.
Good. Go to AC, bet MGM the sports book, and Borgata, you're good to go.
That's what I'm thinking of doing right now. I'm going to go on my way home today, Jerry. I'm going to pass by the Bradley Beach exit. I'm going to go all the way down to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
So last night, the Rangers won.
Yeah.
And wanted to get your take on this. I like to peruse social media when I get in the morning. I like to see what's the buzz, Jerry. What are people buzzing about?
Yep.
So I see that CeeLo was in New York City for work, I guess, over at the either
Sirius
SNY
XM, probably.
Or Sirius.
Oh, SNY, yeah.
And he said, I was already in the city for work. I decided to buy a single solo ticket to go to the Ranger game last night.
Good for him.
Yeah. Is that a cool move?
Oh, it's awesome.
It is, right?
Yes. If I was in the city and I was a big Ranger fan and I had an opportunity to go to the game and not have to run home, absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a little... I'm not big on going to a lot of places by myself. A couple things, though. I think in New York City, you could go do anything by yourself because New York City is just a bizarre place and no one cares. Like, I always think people are looking at me and judging me because that's what I do to others. But in New York, there's so much bizarreness going on. But to go and sit down in a seat by yourself is a little awkward.
Yes and no. I'll give you a scenario.
Okay.
C-Mac likes to tell us that he likes to go to the movies by himself on a nice Monday or Tuesday afternoon.
The matinee?
That, to me, while I understand why you would go, and I might go too if I was in a situation, a lot odder than going to a sold-out Madison Square Garden by yourself for a playoff game.
Let me push back on that. A matinee movie, you're going and you've got your choice of seats, and there's probably no one sitting near C-Mac.
It looks sad.
CeeLo has to sit next to a group or at least a couple.
Absolutely.
That's there together.
Yeah.
And there's just a solo seat.
Make friends.
There. I guess he makes friends, right?
But the place is packed.
Yeah.
The movie thing just sounds sad and depressing to me.
Yeah, I will tell you that one of my sadder moments in life ever. I was living in Florida, Jerry, by myself.
Oh, I know this one.
I had no girlfriend. And I would really only come back home for the Christmas holidays.
Sure.
And on an Easter Sunday, I went to see the Tom Cruise film. What's the one?
Mission Impossible?
No, worse. Way worse.
Oh, don't tell me the one with the football.
No, yeah. Well, I went to go see Jerry Maguire on Easter by myself.
Were you the only one in the theater?
La, 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 yeah, that, loser.
That's when you walk
that's
out and you
move.
Reevaluate your life.
I was like, wow, what did I... I mean, it's essentially a love story.
Were you crying at the end?
I was not.
You complete me.
I was not crying, Jerry. Okay, so CeeLo does that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool, actually.
Plus, he's not a loser. He's married with children.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of losers that are married with children, let's be honest. That doesn't make you a non-loser.
Yeah.
It just makes you someone that's married with children.
So that's pretty cool.
I think it's great.
He had no one he had to get food for. No one that had to run to the bathroom. He could get up and go wherever. He's a solo artist, the lone wolf last night.
That is a stress-free solo night out for him. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I do.
I think it's cool, too.
And it's the playoffs. It's not like he went to a random game
against, you know, the Nashville Predators on a Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden in December.
Right.
I think it's really cool. It's the postseason. They're great. They've won, if you go back to the regular season, I think they're like either 12-3 or 13-3 in their last, 15 or 16 games. They've been phenomenal. It's the playoffs. It's the Capitals. It's great. Good for him.
And you can normally get a decently priced solo ticket because people are like, how am I going to get rid of this solo ticket?
Because they're so random.
Yeah.
And they are. Interesting you bring that up because I heard C-Mac talking about that driving in, about the ticket prices have gone down on the secondary market in Philly for the Knicks and 76ers after Philly lost game two.
Oh, really? That's a bunch of
I don't know. I'm just telling you what he
fans.
Said. Yeah, that to me is very interesting because man. I had said going back to prior to the series beginning that I didn't, Knicks fans were like, oh, the Knicks fans are going to take over the building. And that Philadelphia fan base is pretty good. I'd be surprised. But down 0-2, with Maxey and Embiid giving and having the production they've had and still losing the games, I guess it doesn't surprise me at all. All right, so if I go right now and I want two tickets for me and you.
We're going to go Knicks, Phillies, Philly.
Like, not for nothing.
When's that game, Jerry?
Tomorrow night.
Thursday night?
You can get, the get-in-the-door price, and there's a lot of them for this price. This is a playoff game against the Knicks. $90.
That's a bargain. That's a sports bargain.
For a playoff game?
So think about this, Jerry. Let's say the Knicks go in and dominate them once again. They're up 3-0. What do you think the next game's tickets are going to go for?
$60.
Right.
I think they abandoned the Sixers. You know, I did go back and listen to the IP, the WIP morning show, just looking for some different angle after the game two loss. And I ultimately didn't play anything because they were pretty good. They didn't go crazy. They weren't whining about the refs. But the one thing that stood out in my mind was they made the comment about how the draft is Thursday. The Phillies have won 7 straight. This was yesterday morning. The Sixers, kind of a backseat. But we're going to talk Sixers this morning. But they made it very clear that in that pecking order at the moment, the Sixers were third. So if they lost again tomorrow night, I think the ticket prices plummet even further.
We got to get all those people. We got to find all of them individually. It's going to be tough, Jerry. All those people who piled out onto the streets of the Garden after the Knicks
and
won
just get
game
them tickets.
Two. Get them tickets. Let's get a bus. Let's get a party bus, Jerry. You and I will drive it.
Yes.
We'll load it up with beers, kegs.
You want to do an Al and Jerry road trip to Philly tomorrow night?
Yeah.
What would it take to get you to do that?
Oh, the day off of the next day. I'd need a Friday off.
So take Friday off. Let's do it.
I did a thing when I was in Florida for the Tampa Bay Lightning playoff game. Mm-hmm. It may have even been against the Flyers, oddly enough, where we took Ice House used to be a beer. I don't know if it's still
Miller
is.
Ice House. I remember Ice House.
And the Ice House had a party bus, and I hosted a Ice House party bus to the Ice Palace.
They really found Captain Fun, huh?
Who wants to have some fun?
Well, you were fun back then.
I was, especially if I got like 2 ice houses in me, Jerry.
And
I was
not getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning the next day.
I was good to go. Yeah. Right, I was working on afternoon drive show. It was right after work.
That actually sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it was a blast.
All kidding aside, if I was a Knicks fan, I would go. I would 100% I would go to this game.
Yeah, why not?
I couldn't agree more. It's easier, and the ticket prices, like the tickets I would think for the Garden on the secondary market for games 1 and 2 were had to have been 3 and 4 times this. So now you can go to Philly for $90. Not bad.
I actually want them to lose one of the games so that they can come back and win it at the Garden.
Because you want to see the chaos outside the building?
Yeah, I want the chaos. I want the bing-bong guys out there.
They might. I thought Shaq said something very interesting. So, that NBA released the report that said the officials missed a couple of fouls at the end. And that whole scrum with Tyrese Maxey where he had the ball taken away from him, they admitted that a foul should have been called because Brunson pulled his jersey, like a lot of people had said, too. I mean, to me, it's borderline. But, okay, they admit that they missed it. Shaq basically came out and said, this is why people think the NBA is rigged. And I forget what his take was, but one of those guys, when they were doing the highlight part of the show on TNT the other day, they're watching it and they were arguing. I think it was Kenny Smith. He's like, how do you not call a foul on that? And Shaq's like, yeah, it's borderline. But his point was, if you're going to have officials standing there and staring at it and all that contact and just let it go, then just let it go. Don't then come out and announce, yep, we blew it. Because it doesn't do anybody any good.
That's always weird. when they come out and admit to it. If it's something that's super blatant and everyone is saying they missed something, but if it's if some people are saying borderline, then you don't. You got to be like the ump in the game where they threw out Aaron Boone.
Oh, digging deeper on it?
Yeah, just digging deeper. Go, I don't care who said it. You out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they could have done that, but I don't think they did that.
Hmm.
So, very all interesting, right. though. So, all right, so Al and Jerry on the road tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, Jerry.
We're going to Philly.
So, last night there was a controversial hit, I guess, in this Ranger game where they...
Yeah, so you got to help us. So, I didn't see this yet, unfortunately.
I watched it.
I was editing a lot of Stu Gatz and Lebatard versus BT and Sal.
Oh, that's a fight you don't want. You do not want to battle Sal on the radio.
I'm just saying, that's what I was... spending my time on. I didn't get a chance to watch the third period highlights yet.
Mm-hmm.
So explain it to
me. I watched the hit itself, Jerry. So Artemi Panarin, Jerry. Mm-hmm. They call him the bread man.
Yes, I know.
Why?
For
Panarin,
real?
Panera bread?
Yeah. I always assumed that's what it meant.
Panera bread. Boy, that went downhill, Panera bread.
No, Panarin's fantastic.
No, it got super
by me, it does
fast
very well.
Foodie. I know it does well, but I'm saying their quality of food.
Okay, I like it, and so do most people, but that's okay.
Anyway, he hit TJ Oshie, and they say he did leave his skates. I didn't think it was possible to jump on skates. Evidently,
sure.
You can, although figure skating, they jump and twirl.
Yes, they do.
And still land. And that the hit was to the shoulder, to the head sort mm-hmm. of area, and they didn't call it. And the Capitals head coach, Jerry, he was very upset. And quote-unquote confused as to why there wasn't a penalty on it.
Hmm, okay.
I looked at it. Know what I call that, Jerry? Good old-fashioned playoff hockey. You got to let hockey dudes hit each other. That's what we do.
I think you call it playoff hockey.
That's what I call it, Jerry. Good old-fashioned playoff hockey.
I just looked at it.
Plus, I watched it in slow motion.
Yeah, the problem with all of this is the slow motion.
Yeah.
Because the officials don't get to see it in slow motion.
No, they do not.
They watch it right there in real time.
And you've been to a hockey game, Jerry. That's very fast in person.
Yeah, it is. I see what they're saying. Does he leave his feet?
A little bit.
He does. He leads with his shoulder. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's clear.
You're going to say, much like the Knicks foul, no foul in the Sixer game, it's borderline?
I do think it's borderline because I'm watching it again in slow motion. Because I'm watching it in slow motion now.
Meanwhile, in hockey, we let guys punch each other in the face.
No, you know what? I tell you, I don't know. I'm not sure. Right. In hockey, it's okay that they have an all-out brawl, rip helmets off, pull their jerseys over their heads and beat on them. But, yes, bad hits are bad hits.
Contact in a game people don't like. He wasn't really complaining about it, the coach. By the way, that coach looks intimidating. Spencer Carberry is his name?
Yes, the head coach. The only thing I would say is, and I don't see it in real time, I'm seeing it more, again, in replay and in slow motion. If he hit him in the head, that's ugly.
We got to go head hunting sometimes.
And I didn't think he did it first. But now that I'm looking at it in slow motion, it does look like he might have gotten him in the head. So, tough one.
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. You win some, you lose some. That's what I've heard.
Do you think it's more difficult to be a hockey official flying around on skates with the speed and the violence of that sport, an NFL official, which we know how fast and violent that sport is, calling balls and strikes with fastballs coming at 100 miles an hour, and you don't know if it's a fastball or a curveball is coming, and you got to track that ball? I think we agree that the NBA official out of the four would be the easiest of the four, but what would you say is the more difficult?
I would put the umpire next easiest because I think you get a hang for that. Like you'll get out of habit that comes quicker than.
Okay.
I'm going to say.
So we're MLB and NBA, we off the
easier.
Table.
And I feel like in the NFL, there are a lot of officials looking at only particular things. And then I think NHL, I feel, and I don't know much about the NHL, Jerry.
Really?
That they don't have in the NFL, I feel like there's specific refs in specific positions looking
true.
For specific things.
That
so
is
I'm
going
to go hockey's the hardest.
Because they've got three guys skating or four. I think it's three. I get this.
Plus, you
got
to skate.
Yo, you got to skate and you got to move and the puck's flying all over the place. So you would go hockey one, football two, and then baseball and the NBA, whatever.
Yeah. three and four.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong. Although the NBA is difficult just from the physicality of the game in terms of what's a foul, what's not a foul, what do they let go, what don't they. But I do agree in terms of actually calling it on the spot.
Though it seems to be easiest, WWE official. They miss a lot of stuff, Jerry. Guys get hit in the face with chairs. Not legal.
And they're turning around and looking at the crowd.
They're looking the other way. They don't see foreign objects. They don't see manager interference. They don't see nothing.
How about that?
And there's
that?
No discipline. Occasionally, you'll get body slammed.
Is that still a thing? Good old body slam?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Body slam is a classic move.
I remember the body slam. I remember when Rocky got thunder lips.
Oh, he got really body slammed. He got thrown out of the... out of the ring.
Well,
right?
Thunderlips threw Rocky like a rag doll, as they said. And then Rocky got him and was just able to get him over the ropes.
Remember Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant. And that guy's 7'4", 525 pounds.
And where was he from?
Oh, he's from Grenoble, France. Not easy to do.
First break of the hour. When we come back, we've got a whole lot more to get to. It's a very busy Wednesday with Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Al and Jerry, number one with people and cars stuck in traffic on the LIE and the Jersey Turnpike.
Okay. Jerry, Eddie's bringing them back. Those are old school.
Oh, they're not new?
I played this for you, Jerry, because I know you liked this yesterday.
I did like this. I forgot to go get it, but yes, I did like it.
Chris Young.
I'm going to let this go for a minute.
Yeah.
You got to remind me, when we do the podcast later, I had what I thought, and I mean this, an unlocking of my brain at about 1:30 in the morning.
In a good way, like you were going to see the universe?
No. You know how you feel like we see and witness and take in so much in our lives, and we forget everything? All I'll say is, this will be a little tease for the podcast later, and it's amazing how vivid it was. I saw the credits in my dream for the Honeymooners.
Wow.
And a name popped up in my head. You know the stars that pop in the Honeymooners, right? And I saw it directed by, and I had a specific name. It so much woke me up that I went right to my phone and I Googled his name. And he had nothing to do with the Honeymooners. Nor is he even a person.
Oh. I thought not even a person.
I woke up, and more later, I promise. I woke up thinking, repressed memory. Like, that was weird. I don't know why I dreamt of it. Very strange.
Maybe this person, Jerry, is the director of your life.
Maybe.
And when you go to heaven, this person will be
perhaps
there waiting to hold your hand and take you through the next phase of consciousness.
Maybe that is it. We'd have to ask Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
Yeah, which is interesting that you bring that up there, Jerry, because Rudy Gobert of the Bucks. I don't know why this is a story now, but it is a story now. He was talking. He did a darkness retreat last year, and he said that he had contacted Aaron Rodgers prior to this to see what to expect. And he says, this is what Rudy Gobert said of his experience going in the dark. He said, in the dark, all you have is the present moment, which reveals what is truly meaningful, whether it's love, forgiveness, peace, and it begins to transform you as you truly, authentically touch what is most important to you. He was in the darkness for 64 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You come out, it's got to be so bright when you walk out of that.
What happens when
64 hours of darkness?
And I'm not being stupid when I ask this question. And I know not the best humans in the world. When an inmate goes into solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Do they have these experiences?
That's a great question.
Or is this because you are psyching yourself up to have this experience, you lead yourself to that?
Well, I would say that even in solitary confinement, I believe they're allowed to go out for maybe an hour a day.
Are they? I don't know.
23 hours in, 1 hour out, I think. And you're interacting with the guards who will slide you your food, old school,
true,
prison style. So
but these
know.
People are given food, are they not?
They are.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how you get the food in the darkness.
I would think they slide it under a door or something.
And then what, you just feel around for it or smell?
I've never done this, nor do I have any interest in doing this. I don't know.
Yeah, the
I'm darkness. Just wondering if, like, what's the difference?
And what if I just sit in the darkness in my condo when I go home from work?
Right. It's really like your Saturdays.
Yeah. What if I just did that on a Saturday and Sunday?
I imagine you could do that. You would have to lock yourself into a closet or something because otherwise the light would peer through. Or you could do it at home.
And where
for
am I going to the bathroom?
Hours.
Where's Rudy Gobert going to the bathroom?
I don't know enough about this. I
wonder, is there like a little mini toilet there? Mini toilet.
Maybe they put a Port-a-John in there.
Yeah, like a little Port-a-John toilet.
Gross.
And you're sitting in your own smell in the dark.
Okay.
And you don't
Maybe
know.
That's why they're vomiting. You ever think
right.
of that?
Yeah. It's not the ayahuasca. It's the smell of your own waste.
Ugh. Awful.
That you're sitting next to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good for Rudy Gobert. I'm him and Aaron Rodgers, fast friends. You think Aaron Rodgers is a happy guy?
I do.
Even though the fact he's got zero relationship with his family.
Mm.
Like, at some point, I would think, that's got to bother you a little on some level.
Yeah. I'm going to say no, then. I'm going to completely reverse that. Not happy.
That was quick.
Yeah. Plus, he's so deep into conspiracies, and while fun, it can drive you nutty.
Yeah, make you batty, actually.
I've let it drive me nutty, and I'm not even full deep into conspiracies. Mm-hmm. I'm only semi into conspiracy
you can let
theories.
You can let these things consume you, for sure.
Right, start seeing things that aren't there.
I also think the more involved you are in the real world, like what we do here is fun. I mean, really, talking about games is nonsense, comparatively speaking, to what's going on in other parts of the world. I think the more you get involved in that, the more you can drive yourself crazy and depress yourself.
Yes. I had to stop following certain people on Twitter because they were so knee-deep. Things I'm interested in, but it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
I was making myself a little nutty, Jerry.
Yeah, I know. I've always told you, like, as I've gotten older, the idea of working at a place like Windsor 880 as a news anchor, reader, whatever you want to call it, is really intriguing to me. But I also don't know if I would go home happy or sad. I mean, the news is brutal.
In Uptown Manhattan, a grandmother got kicked in the face on the subway. I'm Jerry Recco.
And by the way, that might have happened this morning.
Right.
Who knows?
In Manhattan, a crazy person beheaded three people.
Oh, God.
And in sports, the Rangers take a 2-0 lead.
You're exactly right. It's like, when's news time? 5:29. Earlier this evening on Broadway and 7th Street, a man got kicked in the head and stabbed in his testicles. The Rangers beat the Capitals 4-2, and the Knicks played the Sixers on Thursday. I mean,
mostly sunny today with a high of 65.
Here's Tom Kaminsky.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is. I know. It's so stupid.
Like, I don't think we need to know about random. I'm trying to think, like, I guess we need to know about random killings and random things that could affect us.
Mm-hmm.
But like most people that murder somebody they know. I don't think we need to know that. That was a beef between those two, and that person should go away forever.
Yes.
But it's not a threat to me as a listener and somebody just in New York City.
So you're saying those specific stories society doesn't necessarily need to get hit over the head with?
Yeah, we don't need those on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Like if a wife kills her husband because he cheated, that's between those two. It's not going to affect me. If a random person on the streets is just whacking people in the head with a baseball bat, that I want to know about because that could be me one
so
day.
Basically what you're saying is domestic disputes should probably be left to the privacy of the people, as bad as they might be, as opposed to making it public.
Yeah. Like, definitely I want the law involved.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
It's too much, Jerry.
And there is a lot of news they could get to otherwise. That
they
is true.
Sure could.
Yeah.
In other police news.
Oh, geez.
Police, Jerry, are looking for the brother of Nikola Jokic.
What'd he do?
Oh, okay, I thought I was saying that wrong. The brother was seen punching a fan after Denver's buzzer-beating win over the Lakers in the stands.
That was the Jamal Murray basket.
Yeah.
And so you're saying Nikola Jokic's brother then punched somebody?
Yeah, they got into an altercation, punched the guy in the face.
Wow.
They can't find the guy who got punched in the face, and they can't find the brother right now.
Hmm.
By the way, I saw a picture of this brother sitting in the stands. Very intimidating.
Well, Nikola Jokic is 7'2", 280.
That's what this guy looks
like. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. That's fine. He's older or younger?
He looks older.
Older? Yeah, I'd probably stay away from him.
Me too.
Imagine you're a Mavericks fan, and that's you buy a seat on StubHub, and you show up, and you're right next to Jokic's brother, who is twice your size.
And you're talking trash.
And they were, because they were, that game was 99-99 before the Jamal Murray basket. And if you remember, they blew a 20-point, the Lakers. The Lakers blew a 20-point lead in that game.
Boomer's right. You never know who he's talked about this when, you know, he was on the Jets and the Bengals. You never know who you're sitting next to in the stands. Could be a family member.
Absolutely.
Of Boomer's, or, and then you're trashing them and their family member's right near you. If that family member happens to be, why do I have a problem saying Nikola Jokic's brother, he'll punch you right in the face.
The only thing I would say to that is if you go to a basketball game.
Yeah.
And you sit close to the court, and the guy next to you is 7'1".
Yeah.
Are you really not going to think that he's related to somebody on the court? And I only bring it up when Rutgers played St. John's in an exhibition game at Carneseca Arena back in, I guess it was October. I got tickets. You know, I got a couple of tickets through Rutgers. I took my son, and we were close to the court. I didn't know who the people were, but there were some very large guys next to us. I'm like, they got to be related to someone, because the only people in this building that are 6'8" and 7 feet tall are on the court. So it's got to be someone related. So we mind what we're saying. I would think you would know that it's Jokic's somewhat relative.
In your years of doing Rutgers basketball and Columbia basketball prior, did you ever see a player with his parents wherein both parents were small?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Like it skipped a generation and they got a really tall son?
Probably, but I don't recall right now. Most are relatively not the same size, but you could see why. So here's a good one. So like Zach Edey. Zach Edey, 7'4". And you see his mom. His mom's like 6'3".
Is that right?
Now, she is still head and shoulders shorter than him. But when you see a woman that's 6'3", the fact that her son is 7 feet, it makes sense.
Right.
But no, have I ever seen a dad that's 5'7", with a mom who's 5'5", and their son is 6'10"? I don't think so.
You know what's weird when you see like a really large man like Shaq?
Mm-hmm.
And then his girlfriend or wife
is 5'1"?
Yeah, it's weird.
I think his ex-wife was like 5'2", for real.
Like, they come up to their navel.
Yes.
This is a weird visual, just when they're just standing next to each other.
Yes.
Right?
He's since divorced. I don't think he's with anybody right now.
Correct.
And I think he has been on record as talking about how depressing his life is with his kids grown up and the fact that, as he said, he screwed up relationships.
Yes.
So I was just seeing if I see the images. Yeah. His ex-wife comes up to his nipple.
Oh, that's taller than I thought.
I mean, like forehead to nipple.
Just like, who's the NCAA college basketball player, female, who just was drafted? Tall, blonde gal. Oh, Eddie knows who I'm talking
about.
Cameron Brink.
Oh, Brink. From USC or Stanford?
Stanford.
I saw a picture of her next to the comedian Kevin Hart. It is so bizarre.
But Kevin Hart is like 5'4".
I know, but you see a large man with a smaller woman all the time. To see a tall woman with a small Kevin Hart was a bizarre photo.
Tell me Kevin Hart and Shaq is not bizarre. Take a look at that real quick.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You've never seen the Shaq and Kevin Hart photos. It's almost like Judge and Altuve.
Oh, my gosh,
yes,
Jerry.
Right.
Wow.
And if you look up Judge and Altuve at second base of a baseball game, not quite this extreme, but it also looks like a father and his son on the baseball field.
The weird thing with the Judge and Altuve ones, while it looks bizarre, they're never like, in the other pictures, they're standing next to each other. Mm-hmm. This one seems a little bit in the Judge Altuve one. Judge is a little bit more in the forefront.
Okay.
So that's what I'm trying to mentally go, okay, they're not that, but they're, yeah, it's bizarre.
I'll Google a Warner Wolf and Andre the Giant.
Okay. Now, Warner Wolf also in Rocky III with Thunder Lips and Andre. No, that's Hulk Hogan. That's right. Not Andre the Giant.
Warner Wolf, Andre the Giant photo.
Well, that's got to be absurd, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Warner was 5'5", right? When he was at in Astoria,
I think shorter,
maybe.
He seems to be cheating here, Jerry. He's on some of these photos. He's on like some sort of box.
I don't blame him.
Isn't there a photo of him of Andre holding?
Yeah, water? That's
you know what's so interesting about this, and we all deal with it. If you're not 6'5". Like, I'm in the elevator a lot of times with the Rutgers basketball team, and I'm not saying they're all 7 feet tall. They're not. But even a kid that's 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", they're 19 years old. And I feel like the child in the elevator because they're so much taller. They're just bigger human beings. And I always think about, like, Ian's been around large human beings for 30 years calling games.
He must feel like very tiny.
And yet Ian's, if I'm 50, Ian's got to be 55 or 56. You feel like the kid in the room.
Yeah, it's very bizarre that we've built a sport around super tall people.
Well, yeah, and the NFL is built around super large, super strong large people. Yeah. I mean, it's all different. I will tell you, I'm looking up now at my younger son. It's weird. You know, Matthew only got to my height, so I'm still eye to eye with him. Right. Joe dude is like, he's 5'9 already, 5'10. It's like, what the hell?
At one point, Jerry, that baby
I know.
Mush with no neck in your hand.
Yes, I know.
And now he's taller than
you.
He's
bigger
weird.
Than I am. And he's got very long legs, which tells me he's going to get taller. It's just strange. You don't feel like the adult anymore.
Right.
It's just very odd.
Imagine being Manute Bol's parents.
I do think they were tall.
Manute Bol's parents?
I do think so.
One of them had to be.
Well, you would think, right. Imagine if they were like, you know, me and Ian size.
Yeah.
And Manute's son, also very
Bol
tall.
Bol. All right, we got to take a break. We're late. 5:39. We're 20 minutes away from the Boomer and Geo big party show on a Wednesday here on The Fan.
Al and Jerry, two manly men that could definitely change a flat tire.
At least one of us. Damn sure. Nine is everywhere. This Rangers won again last night. They're up 2-0. Knicks up 2-0. Yankees did win, although they gave you nothing after the first inning. And if you're just waking up, the Mets a few hours ago lost to the Giants 5-1, so the 6-game winning streak over. Now they've lost 3 in a row. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's not good, Jerry. 3 in a row is not good. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Nope. Not hitting all of a sudden.
Yes, they're not hitting all of a sudden, which is not good. And you say the Yankees beat the A's. Who cares, right? The A's. Right now, Jerry, we're in playoff mode. We're in Knicks playoff mode, yeah. Rangers playoff mode, and we got the NFL draft tomorrow night.
First round tomorrow night, yes.
Tomorrow night. Now, there are reports that the Giants are exploring trading up to get Drake May. Who, by the way, looks exactly like what you would think a New York Giants quarterback would look like. He looks like he could be Daniel Jones' brother. He looks like the same. We're just drafting the same guy.
Yeah, well, they're all looking for that franchise quarterback.
I guess so. I don't know what these guys.
It's got to be. I know they get paid well. I know Daniel Jones makes a fortune. But it still has to be strange. It would be akin to this radio station hiring the new up-and-coming morning producer from L.A. and saying, don't worry, Al, your job's, you're our guy. But just so you know, he's going to be, like, right there.
Yeah, he's not really going to do anything. He's going to observe.
Right. Oh, but for what?
You know.
We'll see. You know. Yeah. But you're our guy.
We noticed you got a lot of vacation coming in the summer. We have a guy ready to stand by.
It's
got
to be a strange feeling.
It has to be. That's why it's always strange to see when they get along.
Sure. In the quarterback room or, yeah.
Yeah, just even in that watching that Patriots documentary when young Tom Brady was there and Drew Brees was there.
Drew Bledsoe. I mean, Drew Brees, that would have been something if they had all three of them.
That was a crowded room.
Yes.
Drew Bledsoe. And they seemingly got along very nice. Mm-hmm. Their lockers were next to each other. But you could tell Drew Bledsoe was annoyed at constant Tom Brady questions.
Mm.
But they seemed to get along nicely. So I don't know how I don't know why that is. I'd be more like, remember we thought like Brett Favre was kind of douchey to Aaron Rodgers,
yeah, yep,
and Aaron Rodgers was kind of douchey to Jordan Love. I think that's more normal than being super friendly and not seeming like this guy's coming to take your job.
I don't know. I mean, you're probably right, but I do know there's a lot of open competitions at specific positions every year. Guys do tend to get along. You know, any of these guys I've interviewed over the years, you know, with Compass Media Networks, the Cowboys, and you'll talk to them, hey, you know, you're in competition for the number one wide receiver job or the third, the slot receiver. You know, what's the relationship? Oh, man, we make each other better. And you want to say they're saying all the right things? Yes. And a lot of cases, though, I'm talking to like 24-year-old kids that I don't think know any better other than to just answer the question. I don't know. Maybe they are very close off the field and that stuff. They're still getting paid. They don't care. I don't know.
But it seems like with quarterback, like if you're saying wide receiver, they're fighting for the number one spot. If you're even not the number one guy, you're still going to get a lot of looks in the game. And if quarterback, you're not. Quarterback's also like the leader of the team. So that's always...
You're the face of the franchise. That's true. That's
you know,
true.
I actually got contacted yesterday from The Score in Chicago, sports radio.
As an expert?
Well, this is what they told me they're doing. They go... Oh, hi, Al. Our afternoon show is doing a mock draft tomorrow. We want you to make the Giants pick.
Did you ask them why?
I feel like I should say yes. They're nice enough to ask me.
So are you going on?
I think I will. I got to get back to them, but I don't know who the Giants are. I'm just going to pick a quarterback.
You know what? You should just take something like totally out of left field, and that'll totally screw up their mock draft.
Yeah.
And by the way, the fact that radio stations are still doing mock drafts.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's you're basic. Tough
one. That is basic. They told me they only need me for 45 seconds, though.
You say that, though, Eddie. You know some of these top-rated TV segments on these shows are all about this draft.
The mock drafts?
Like this NFL stuff, we talk about the popularity. People, they have draft parties tomorrow night. It's a real thing. So maybe it's basic. Maybe it's a throwback. It still works, though. The football fan's nuts.
The mock, I don't know.
Eddie, I agree with you. I think it's a complete waste of time. Tell me who they draft on Friday morning. But people love it. Whether you like it or not, they love it.
So, Al, you have to look for your pick. Who would screw up the whole process
the next pick.
The right. most?
But don't do anything nuts. Don't pick a guy that would be picked in the sixth round. Come up with someone that's projected to go like mid-second round or late second round.
We're moving up. We like this guy. We looked at the film on him. I'm just going to pick out whatever quarterback's available. At number six.
But that doesn't throw anything off then.
I don't want to ruin their show, Jerry.
You kind of do.
I don't know anything about any of these guys other than the quarterbacks, who I also don't know much about.
But hey, go on.
But here I am as your draft expert from New York.
I'll give you one. Everybody knows the Giants need a wide receiver.
That's true.
All right? You go on and say they're going to draft Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas.
Oh, we love this kid.
Who's projected to go to the Chiefs at number 32.
No, we love him. We got to grab him here at number six because the Chiefs are going to grab him in the mid-30s.
Or like a running back.
All right, we got to replace Saquon Barkley.
Eddie, help me out with this. I know I don't watch college football. I know this. But did Alabama really have a cornerback whose first name and spelled as the drink, his first name is Kool-Aid?
Yeah, that's true. I've seen that name.
KOOL-AID.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
We're taking Kool-Aid. We're going to take Kool-Aid with the number six pick for the Giants because we've got a big sponsorship deal coming.
You remember Clinton Dix?
Yes, I do, but Kool-Aid?
Kool-Aid.
Come on. Oh, my gosh. Why don't you go with that one? Kool-Aid McKinstry.
If Kool-Aid's not available, we're going to take High C.
Which
a tight end.
Doesn't sound so stupid after seeing that's his real name. That's
seen Kool-Aid a lot.
You got to make sure you tell me when this is so I can roll on the audio.
It's at 4:10 or so.
Today.
Told me. Today, yeah.
Eastern or Central?
My time. 4:10, my time.
Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, we're taking the Kool-Aid.
Wow. All right. Well, I have to make sure I get someone to roll on that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to tell them, yes, I'm interested. Yes, I will be prepared with my pick for the score in Chicago.
All right. I look forward to this.
Yeah. I might start doing maybe I'll get a weekly football appearance on the Chicago station if they really like my breakdown.
What breakdown?
Well, like I'll break down the Kool-Aid.
You could make a name for yourself again, and instead of making a pick, say, you know who we don't want here? Caleb Williams, because he can't handle it.
I'm glad Caleb Williams is off the board because he cries in the stands.
No Caleb Williams here.
And he gets his fingernails
And that's
painted.
One of our stations, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Score in Chicago, that's right.
That Mitch Rosen?
It's not him. But,
no, the PD.
Oh, PD.
He's the one that helped me out there a couple times when Rutgers has been at Northwestern.
Yeah, this is radio 670 The Score.
Yeah. It's very nice setup there.
It's for the afternoon show, Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Okay.
They're very interested in my talents, Jerry.
I look forward to hearing you today.
If I become a free agent, they may be interested in bringing me over. So
check out the Odyssey app today and listen to The Score for Al at 4:10. And by the way, we had a great segment here. So go back and take a listen to the beginning of our program.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Jerry.
All right, right now you're going to listen to Amy Lawrence. She's got an Odyssey Sports Minute on the one and only Caitlin Clark.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Right, we got about a minute or so left. The guys are standing by. Rangers won, Yankees won, Mets lost, Knicks Sixers tomorrow.
Jerry, I got a direct message from Cowbell Man. He's the dude who's out at Yankee Stadium and hits the cowbell. He said that Manute Bol's mother was 6'10".
Wow.
And the father was shorter at 6'8", but both well over 6 feet, Jerry. Yes. You got the very tall Manute Bol. I don't know how tall.
That's a big house.
I don't know how tall Bol Bol's mother was. Because Bol Bol.
It's B-O-L-B-O-L. Bol Bol.
Manute Bol. Bol Bol.
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 WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.